Hey everybody, today I'm going to be reviewing The Last Ranger by J.D.L. Rozelle. It is the first book in the Titan Wild series, and it is another one of the Spiffbo 9 finalists. I'm excited to talk about this book today. I thought the plot, the world building, and everything was really cool. I had an issue with the main character. It's one of those things where, as we get through the review, it's going to be kind of fun to like kind of decide where I end up on my rating because of that. It's one of those, I asked the question all day a couple days ago as I was sitting there thinking about it, of what am I going to do here when most elements of the book are a 10 out of 10 for me, but the main character might be a 1 or a 2 out of 10. I asked a little question in a short video the other day, but today we're going to talk about it. The author, J.D. Rozelle, has quite a few other books out. This is the first time that I've read one of his books, but I certainly don't intend for it to be the last time that I read a book. I don't know that I want to go straight to the second one of these books. I think that I need a little bit of time to get away from Lian, the main character, and kind of calm down on how I feel about her. She does have a redemption arc as the story, you know, gets towards the end. But I feel like it was so late into the book that my disgust that I felt towards her didn't quite have time to calm down. So if any of you guys are watching this video and you have a recommendation for what you think the next Rozelle book should be that I'll read, it looks like he has four or five other series, and I really did like the writing enough that I want to do another book in that he's written. Let's go ahead, and I'm going to read the book blurb, and then we will talk about the book. Betrayed, hunted, left for dead. But not even death itself can keep the Last Ranger from vengeance. Lian Firebrand is no strange to a fight. A brash ranger of the Titan Wilds, she takes up her bow to ward against the colossal spirit creatures known as Titans, ever a threat to the colonies she has sworn to protect. But no amount of skill can guard against treachery. When tragedy strikes the Ranger's Lodge, Lian vows to avenge the fallen. But if she is to succeed, she must embrace a power within her she has long denied. Power to move mountains and rivers. Power over life and death. She did not choose this path, but Lian knows her duty. For if she fails, the legacy of the Rangers dies with her, and all of the Titan Wilds will fall into shadow. Okay, we're going to break this review down just like I do most of them these days. I will discuss the world, then we'll do the plot, the main characters, the bad, the good, and then my final thoughts. First off, as soon as I started reading this book, I started to think Horizon Zero Dawn. It's a super fun video game if you've never played it. The main character is a woman who has a bow. There's like these giant mechanized things that she fights in that one. It's like a post-apocalyptic game. We're not dealing with that with the books, but when I started reading and talking about like some of the creatures, like the Titans and things like that, I immediately like saw that in my mind. And the author did say that the video game absolutely was an inspiration for his world building. Right off the bat, world building was 10 out of 10 in this book for me. I usually don't actually like it when the author is quite as descriptive as Rozelle was when they're talking about like the land or where they're at. I like it to be, you know, more succinct usually, where I have a little bit more of the imagination. But I felt like even though he was really descriptive, it never took me out of that own my movie in my mind of my own. It was awesome the way he described everything in terms of how it worked in my mind. The writing style is just, it's really amazing. And, I just had a great time as they moved around the land, just imagining what things look like and, you know, not coming out of that movie in my mind, unless I was just so enraged with Lian that, you know, I wanted to toss my phone. But anyways, so the Veiled Lands is where we are. It's a place called the Titan Wilds. They are a colony of a place that's just called the Ancestral Lands in this one. It's not described very much of like what the home colonies are like. Technology wise, we're definitely like medieval tech. There is a people called the Ghasts. They were the natives to the colonies. They fought a war a generation or two before the book takes place. They lost that war. The Ghasts had shamans who had magic. They were able to control these things. They're called Titans. There's a bunch of different kinds of Titans. There's a land Titan. They look like a giant tortoise. And they could like walk around and just crush things when they're, you know, that are in their path. So villages, maybe. There's a description of a fortress that had to be abandoned during the wars that still hasn't been reclaimed because of the sheer number of Titans that are around it. There are like hawk Titans. They're big like smoke dragons. There's Kraken. I mean, there are a whole bunch of Titans. There's a river one that makes an appearance in the book. They sound really cool. The way that the description of things is of them, like, is, you know, they're terrifying. Shamans are able to control them at least a little bit. I don't think they can, like, you know, get in and like actually make them do what they're gonna do, but they can awaken them and kind of generally set them off in an area. It's not exactly clear for most of the book how, with the sheer ability and the magic of the Ghasts, why they lost the war against the invaders, right? Like, think the Europeans invading. But it is explained farther into the book, like why they lost the war and how the shamans were overcome. It's not described until late, so I won't get into it right now, but it was something that was definitely in the back of my mind for an awful lot of the book, but it is satisfactorily explained later on. As I mentioned, there are the Ghasts, then there's like three colonies that are kind of split off, but they seem to all kind of be under the power of one person called the World King. The place that we're actually at, there's like the middle colony. They're called Baltesians. At this point in time, the colonies are kind of like mostly independent, but it's going to be a big storyline of how the home country is going to try to kind of reassert their authority here in the colonies. There are also a bunch more like mysterious magical type creatures. There's ones called the Drivans. If I'm saying that correctly, Dryvan, they will play a role in this book as well. They seem to be like super powerful. They take on human-ish shapes, but like one of them will be in the shape of a tree. Another one looks kind of like a grass dryad that they're made out of plants. But they're able to use magic. It looks like they would also be formidable fighters if they chose to be. It's just really cool. There's a lot of like mythical, supernatural creatures, right, in this. Getting into the important characters, this is a single point of view chapter book. Lian is the main character. She's 25 years old. She is a ranger. The rangers are the people who are supposed to patrol the wilds for the Baltesians. There's counterparts in the other colonies as well, but in their case, it is they're like rangers. They fight with bows. Think, you know, your typical ranger that you would have in a fantasy series. That's kind of what they're like. Lian has magic. Yeah, we know this from the very beginning. She keeps her like magical walls up and tries to use her magic as little as possible. It's a huge source of shame for her. The reason for this is that, like the main religion, a main church of the, their homeland, they seem to be kind of like the Catholics, like, and we're at a period of time where, they're doing witch hunts. They're trying to either capture or kill, anybody who can use magic. The Ghasts are clearly not well liked because they fought a war against them. Think like Native Americans in, over here in the United States. But since they can use magic, they're even more hated, right? Anytime anything happens bad, like a plague or something unexplained and mysterious, then they're going to be blamed for it, right? So they're not well-liked, and the kind of magical ability that Lian has comes from them, it's believed, right? And so she tries not to use it. She doesn't want anyone to know she has that power. It's going to be one of the things I dislike about her later on, is because she won't use it sometimes, even when some people are maybe going to die because she doesn't use it, or there's the potential for that, right? Things have to get pretty dire for her to use it. And I understand that, you know, if you think your religion, you think that you're going to be damned because you have magic, if it's that big of a deal. But she doesn't really seem like she's that religious of a person for most of the book. And there are definitely times when she uses it, and she's always going to say, oh, I'll never use it again. But then she's going to use it again, right, in the direst of situations. I found that to be something with her that was a little bit of an issue. She's also super racist. She hates the Ghasts. She uses a word that's made up, but that's supposed to be a slur when she's describing them. The entire whole, like, starting point of how we get into our plot is something that she does because of her hatred of the Ghasts. I'll describe that in a minute here so that I'm not getting out of order. There are a couple more characters I want to talk about real quick. As I mentioned, there's only one point of view character, but her best friend's name is Isla. She is also about 25 years old. She is as calm and reasonable as Lian is irrational and prone to fits of anger and outbursts. They had a lodge master named Tadeo, who is supposed to be like a father figure to the two of them. The girls are probably both right around the 25-year-old range. And I think that, like, Isla would have been, like, being put in a place to be the eventual, like, leader and successor, right? Whereas Lian would have been, like, their main, like, point ranger, right? Like, who goes out and is really capable and all that kind of stuff. There's a bunch of rangers. None of the other ones are really important for us to know. They do end up with another person in their group called Batu. He is part Ghast and part another one of the cultures that's like the neighboring ones. They're more like plains nomads type of people. And then we'll have a couple of Ghasts that will become like part of their traveling party as well. One named Zuma, who is like an older man. And then the chieftain as well. And so those five will be like their main traveling companions throughout like a good portion of the book. Getting into the plot itself now. So as I mentioned, Lian is a ranger. She will be out on a ranging mission of her own. It's kind of funny that she goes solo as often as she does. It seems like if you got yourself into trouble, you would want to have two rangers there. But anyway, she goes on a solo patrol. She runs into a party of Ghasts. They're riding, what's really cool, they ride like, they call them Draconians. They're just like giant lizards. They don't have wings. They're like, you know, their version of horse mounts. And she is getting ready to maybe attack them. But she doesn't attack them. She talks to the guys. They have a writ of passage from a person called the Conqueror. A conqueror is a title, a position, like the military. They're like the military liaison between the home country and the colonies. And their writ gives them permission to be through there. Lian doesn't believe that it's real. She thinks it has to be forged mainly because just of her hatred of Ghasts. She actually takes the writ from them, goes to take it back to the lodge where the rangers are. She throws a big fit, makes a big scene while she's there. Tadeo makes her take Isla with her, and they're going to go back and take that writ back to the gas because that's what the ranger leader wants them to do, because it is not a forgery, it's real. Well, they go back. They don't quite catch up to the gas yet. They see a camp or the remains of a camp, and they see that there were suddenly a whole lot more people than should have been there than just the Ghasts. They can see that they're mounted, their horses are shod. It's clearly a large war party, right? Well, they decide they better go back to the lodge. As they get back, they see that the lodge is actually under attack. Both Lian and Isla are injured. Lian is knocked out. Isla ends up getting captured by the party. And then this is kind of where now, from everything that happens from there on out, is like the main plot line, right? That we are setting things up at first. And then we're going to see that there is a big conspiracy, and we're going to see how that like shakes out throughout the rest. I think that's getting far enough into the plot. I think it's really well done. It is action-packed, and I found it pretty easy to follow the plot. Getting into the bad basically for me is 100% just that I hated Lian so much. Like I mentioned, she's racist. She is prone to outbursts of anger. She'll always say, well, Tadeo would want me not to say something stupid in this situation. Then she's going to say something stupid. It's really surprising that she doesn't just end up in prison at various times, even from people that she needs as her allies. And you know, the thing is, she's 25. Like, it's not like she's 13 or 15 or even 18, right? She's supposed to be like one of the lead rangers. And I mean, I don't see how, with her lack of patience and her lack of tact, like how, why Tadeo, the leader, would have ever wanted her to be representing the Rangers, right? Like, at times it seems like she is sent out to do, you know, to speak to other people. At one point they mentioned that she spent a year with one of the other groups, right? It's described that she ends up being lashed by the leader of this other group, right? It's just one of those things where, like, she's just an awful human being. Like, even if you took out the fact that she's super racist and she ends up making a whole bunch of stupid decisions that make things worse and that do end up getting people killed, if you take out that racism part, she's just makes dumb decisions, right? Like, and I mean, we're talking when I hit about 70% in, I wanted to throw my phone at one point because I'm just so disgusted with her as a character. Other than that, everything else is great. Now, I know that sounds kind of crazy, like when we were like this big of a part of your story, and for like, I don't know, maybe 20% of the story, I really hated her. The final 30%, you know, she kind of gets better, and maybe the first like 20 or 30%, she's not like awful yet, right? Like, we're not into the real meat of the story until about halfway in, right? And that's when she really has to have like day-to-day contact with a couple of the guests. And then that's when, you know, I really dislike her. But it's just one of those things where, like, as much as I loved everything else about the book, like, I'm going to take a while before I read book two, just because I'm going to need to calm down from my just dislike of Lian so much that it's going to take me a little while. Now into the good. I think I've already talked an awful lot about the good. The world building is just amazing. I absolutely, I'm going to put this one that's top-notch world building, 10 out of 10 on that. I felt like I could just imagine the world so well, the descriptions. It's a beautiful world he's created. It's wild. The magic system is super cool as well. And also, you know, like all of the extra lore, all the extra, you know, fantastical creatures, the Titans, there's a magical fox at one point, right? I mean, there's just so many cool elements that Rozelle has added into this for the world building that, like, if you don't hate the character as much as I hated the main character, I think that at all times, this is just, it's just an enjoyable book to read. There's more of the world building on the website as well. Rozelle has a pretty awesome website, actually. I'd recommend looking at that if you're thinking about reading his stuff. A link to his website will be included in the show notes below us. The world building is great. The plot is pretty awesome. He manages to juggle a bunch of like side things and really move the story around. We get to see a lot of the world. And all of that's done, I feel like, without ever like losing sight of what the important thing is. There's a little bit of mystery involved here and there. You know, obviously, if Lian had been a little bit more open-minded from the beginning, maybe some of the things that she's confused about and that we're confused about as readers, because we're only getting her point of view, we might have known earlier. But they all serve to tell a really great and amazing story. So, all that being said, my thoughts. How am I going to rate this book? It's a good question. It's one that I thought about for a while. Esme, Weatherwax Report, one of the judges, one of the actual judges. She has a really good rubric. I really like to go to her website and I like to look at it and see how she's rated them and how she's breaking things down. I don't have a good scientific rating system. Maybe I really should. I think, though, because I generally only actually put out videos or podcasts for books that I like and that I'm recommending, I've never really felt a need for that. And these Spiffbo ones are the only ones where, like, I might not have, like, an 8 or a 9 right before I put one out. So, that being said, the world building is a 10 out of 10. The plot was a 10 out of 10. The magical element for me was a 10 out of 10, right? All of these things, the writing style, I really liked the writing style. So how big of a score in that case is going to be the main character, right? I mean, are we still only doing a 10 out of 10? Because if that's the case, then this is probably like a 92 out of 100, right? If we're doing a rating. So then we're looking at like a 9.2 or a 9, right? I think for me, the main character, since it's just a single point of view character, has to be a little bit more than that. So I'm going to rate this as like an 8.5 or an 85 out of 100, right? In that case, we're given like 5 out of 20 if I'm putting the main character that way. And then I'm basically putting everything else as a 10 out of 10, right? Even if I don't feel great about that score, that like if anything, it's going to be low versus high, right? Like I recommend reading this book. If you like epic fantasy, this is the kind of book and the genre of book that is like my real wheelhouse, right? Epic fantasy and grimdark. I still, love Daughter of the Beast a little bit more, but I would not be surprised at all if this book ends up winning the competition. The writing is just amazing, in my opinion. I know, like I've mentioned, Roselle has written a lot of books. I know I've already mentioned this once, but if you have read Roselle's other stuff, please leave a comment below for a recommendation of what you think I should read. I have one more of the Spiffbo 9 books that I will try to get to this month. That will put me at 6 of the 10. Then I'll probably do one or two more in December, and then the last couple in January. As I mentioned in my last two episodes, if you have a classic or one of the, you know, huge books that you want me to read and review, please also leave a comment there. You can email me at nerdbookreview@gmail.com. All my links are below. And then the month of December, I'm looking forward to reading some of the other books, 2, 3, whatever, of a series. And that's how, you know, at least my December, maybe my January goes well. Aside from those Spiffbo books. Once again, please leave recommendations, leave your comments on what you thought about this book if you've read it. If you enjoy my reviews, please like the videos and subscribe to my channel. Thank you, everybody. I hope you all have a wonderful day. Hey, everybody. Today, I'm going to do The Last Ranger by J.D. I developed an Australian accent right there. not quite sure why, but it just all of a sudden came in there. Okay. Hey, everybody. Today, I'm going to be reviewing... okay. Third try's a charm.